Well, here we are at Easter in 2021, celebrating this truth that Jesus isn't dead, that he's alive. And he changes lives if we let him. I know that he's changed mine. I remember as a kid at 8 years old, for the first time having a revelation of who Jesus was and who I was, that I knew that I was broken, but that Jesus made me whole. I remember that like it was yesterday, just walking up the aisle at a very traditional church, not knowing exactly what a pastor spoke, but understanding that God was reaching out to me. And just through the years at 14, at 19, at 20, at 23, just seeing God's hand on my life at 31, and just knowing that, God has a purpose and a plan for me. He has a purpose and a plan for you. And we're here to celebrate this truth. Jesus made a way. In John 14, 6, Jesus says this. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Why is that? It's because Jesus came, God in the flesh. Remember, he's not just a good guy. It's Jesus, the creator of the universe, the God of all creation, squeezes himself into human form and lives a human existence so that he can take the penalty for the brokenness of sin in a broken world that was never made to carry that sin. And neither were we, but we do. And that God from heaven came down. Jesus came into this earth and lived in a broken world, but he lived a perfect existence. And then he tasted death for all of us. And on that cross, it's his blood that was shed. He died so that we don't have to live separated from him forever. And I can't help but think about kind of Jesus while he was on earth, because he came from heaven. And then he came down to earth, limiting himself to this existence, knowing that it was going to be full of highs and lows, beautiful things, good things. But ultimately, he knew that he was going to take on the weight of the world and the sin of the world, and that that physical body that experienced joy, like the great feelings of a hug with somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, the wonderful feelings of maybe a dinner together, that everything just kind of comes together and it's like this magical moment where there's relationship and there's joy and that life's wonderful. He got to experience those highs, but he also experienced the lows of rejection, betrayal, physical pain, false accusation, and ultimately torture and death. There's that in-between in heaven, then on earth. That time on earth, even in the good moments, he knew this. His death was imminent. His death was imminent. You know, he even predicted it, actually over and over as you read the Gospels. And this gets me, because I think Jesus shows us how to live in the in-betweens. You know, if you ask a kid, and I do this on the regular with little kids that I know, hey, where'd you come from? How'd you get here? And they'll usually say, like, my mama brought me, my daddy brought me. But when you're able to get that one, this is like, no, but where did you come from? And they're like, I don't know, heaven. I mean, here we are. Here we are. We're just birthed into this existence. But Jesus came from heaven, knowing that he was going to face death, but knowing also that he was going back. In that in-between, he shows us how to live. And he says this, as he realizes his time on earth is wrapping up, he says this in chapter 20 of Matthew. He says, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, now he's knowing that he's going there for a purpose. He says this, he's going up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside and privately told them what was going to happen to him. Verse 18, listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then he'll be handed over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. What's he saying? He's saying that he recognizes that his purpose is about to be fulfilled. but that it's not an easy one. He recognizes that his death is soon at hand. And I think in this season, from here to the end of Matthew, and really the end of his, not just life here on earth, his not just his death, but also his resurrection, he shows us how to live in the in-betweens. I mean, he's going to Jerusalem and he's like, listen, guys, it's going to be bad for me. Like, they're going to betray me. I'm going to be handed over to the Romans. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be beaten and tortured and crucified. But then he says this right there at the end. But on the third day, he'll be raised from the dead. And that's a really great thing. Like, you know, he's going to be raised from the dead, but it doesn't really soften the blow of what he had to walk through. And I think many times in our life, if we'll listen, Jesus will speak to us about, hey, I know what it's like. I've been there. I experienced the pain. I know what it is to live in the in-between of where we know God ultimately has for us and where we are right now. So he goes to Jerusalem, knowing he's going to be mistreated horribly. And here's what happens. When he gets there, people have heard that Jesus, this man who does miracles, this man who heals people who are sick and raises the dead, he's coming into their town. And they are completely excited. And this is what it says. It says in chapter 21, verse 8, it says there's a crowd that's gathered. And it says that, you know, they're celebrating. It says, most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. Others cut branches from the trees and they spread them on the road. And Jesus was in the center of the procession and the people around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. It's like a party atmosphere. It's like a parade. Like, people are lining the roads. Jesus is riding in on a donkey and they're taking off their coats and laying them down as a sign of honor. They're celebrating Jesus because in that moment, they're saying, this is the Son of David. They recognize who he is. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens. And Jesus embraces it. He embraces that moment where people are giving glory to God and to him. And I think maybe this is a lesson for us, that we can embrace celebration of good things. Listen, I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know what's ahead of you. I don't know what's behind you. But I know this, that as you trust God and you are in that moment, you can say, yeah, but I got some bad stuff coming up. Guess what? Jesus teaches us what we really have is the moment. Embrace it. Are you able to celebrate? I know that 2020 was, wow, what a year. It's been really difficult. I know tons of people who are still in campers. I know that many people's homes are not fixed. I know that their yards are destroyed, or if you live in the woods, kind of like I do, like out in the country, it doesn't even look the same. But I know that as we see the example of Jesus, he's showing us, embrace where you are and celebrate. Then what's he do? So he goes into Jerusalem. They've all celebrated his entry. And it says this, Jesus entered the temple and it began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. What is he showing us? Yeah, we should embrace the moments that are worthy of celebration, but we should also take a look at right where we are and clean up the stuff we know isn't right. What was taking place in the temple wasn't the worship of God. It was commercial sales, and really it was taking advantage of people just because of where they were, because people were traveling into Jerusalem. They'd travel in and they'd go to the temple to present sacrifice, but they were jacking the prices of the animals that they needed for sacrifice way up. It was a tourist trap. And Jesus comes in and says, this isn't right. This isn't what my house is for. It's to be a place of prayer. You've turned it into something it was never designed to be. What is Jesus knowing that in just a couple, 3 days, he's facing death? He's embracing the celebration of where he is, but he's recognizing he has a responsibility to make sure that his house is in order. Is mine? Because we're living in the in-between. Is my house in order? I know you're probably thinking, how is this an Easter message? The message is about resurrection, but I can't help but look at where Jesus was walking towards. He knew it was death first. That has a clarifying role for all of us. When, you know, if you were given a slip of paper by a physician and said, hey, you have, you know, 30 days to live, they'd probably change some things. Because death clarifies so much. And I think Jesus is reminding us that it should clarify for us every day, recognizing that this in-between, it has its highs and its lows, but we need to embrace the highs. And then when we recognize that there's something that's not right in our life, that we need to be like Jesus and make that thing right and center not just us, but the people around us back to what truly matters, the relationship with the Lord. He cleans out the temple. The next verse, verse 14, chapter 21. Then it says this, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. This is all like one moment. Like he goes in there, he sees everything that's wrong. He turns over to the table, kicks people out and says, this isn't right. This should be a house of prayer. Well, now, remember, there's been this triumphal entry. He goes to the temple, cleans out the place. And then the people that are blind and lame, those who need healing, they've heard that the healer has come. And so they're there as well. And when he's done cleaning out the temple, now all of these people who need to be healed are coming up to him. And it's interesting to me that we see that it's this, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Just the blind and the lame. The leading priests and the teachers of the religious law saw the wonderful miracles, and they heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. This was a chaotic, crazy moment when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And in it, I think, is so much application for us. That when Jesus shows up, like we in our lives, like it's not the end of our spiritual journey, it's the very beginning. And he's calling us to celebrate right where we are in every moment, but also to take a look around and clean up the things in our lives that we know aren't right. Like take care of our household and it impacts other people. And then the blind and the lame came to him, he heals them, and this is crazy wild. And the kids are freaked. Even kids are going, oh my gosh, look at what's happening. The rejoicing because of the life that came from Jesus and the blind and the lame. Why just the blind and the lame? Because the picture for us is as we follow Jesus in our in-between, people that can't see, people that can't walk, they can't see what the next step is for them. They can't walk in the next step. He'll use us. Because we're called to be like Jesus. We're called to be like Jesus. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. And when Jesus lives through us, we'll do what he did. Celebrate the moments that are worthy of it. Clean up the things that are dirty in our life. Let people see that, hey, God's doing a work in me. And when they see that, those people that can't see the road in front of them, those people that is so weary or broken that they can't walk through life, God will use you to do it. What do we see? Well, Jesus knows how to live in the in-betweens. In the next few chapters, he just begins to teach people. He shows people what God's purpose and plan for them is. And then we see all the way over in chapter 26 of Matthew, we see Jesus knowing that the moment is upon him for his death. He knows that it's happening. And he's at a quiet place. He's at a garden just outside the city walls, about a 20-minute, maybe not even 15-minute walk from the east gate of Jerusalem out to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's still there, by the way. And he's praying, and he's in anguish because he knows that death is coming. Says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. He turns to the three guys with him, Peter, James, and John, and he says, stay here and keep watch with me. And he went on a little further and bowed down with his face to the ground. He says, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Jesus didn't want to walk into death. Certainly not that way. But Jesus, and this is the second point, Jesus was able to embrace the pain because he saw the purpose. He was able to embrace the pain, the difficulty, the hardship of that death that he knew that was coming because he saw the purpose. He recognized this truth, that death was part of the plan, but it wasn't the purpose. The purpose was resurrection and life. And the same is true for us. When we're walking through this life, yeah, there's great seasons, there's great moments, but there's also difficult and hard ones. And the reality is that none of us are getting out of this alive. So what are we to do? Recognize that God has a purpose for you. And that purpose begins when you embrace the truth that his plan for your life is always bigger than the ultimate end of death. And in fact, that's only such a small part of it that he will use you to rebirth things in people's lives. That dead nature, that dead sin nature in them, he'll use you. Look at what Jesus says. He says, I don't want this. And then he says, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And what happens next? That's chapter 26. The rest of chapter 26 and chapter 27, here's what happens. He's betrayed by one of his closest friends. He's arrested, taken away to a place he doesn't want to go, but knows he has to. He's abandoned by every one of his followers. Peter, who had just before this said, I'll never abandon you, he denies him three times. Everybody scatters. Jesus is all alone. He's abandoned. Chapter 27, he stands before a judge with a bunch of false charges against him. He's condemned to die. Then he's tortured, humiliated, mocked, the creator of the universe, beaten, crucified, killed, and buried. Death was part of the plan, but it wasn't the purpose. Purpose was resurrection. Chapter 26 and 27 are tough chapters. Wasn't just a guy who was a good guy. This is God in human form. Falsely accused because he knew that he had to carry the sin of the world. Break that curse. In the tomb for 3 days, but it wasn't the end. Matthew 28, here's what we see. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. And the angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead." Now here's the last thing I want you to get, because this is so applicable for us. There can never be a resurrection unless there's first a death. How could Jesus embrace death? Because he knew what was on the other side of it. It was life. It was life for everybody in the world if they saw it. And that we see, this is what preceded like his resurrection. Like what happens? Like we look at chapter 28, like there was an earthquake. Let me just tell you that the ground moves under our feet when we embrace the resurrection of Jesus in our life. And there's some things that begin to move in our lives. There's an earthquake. Like Mary Magdalene gets there, there's an earthquake. And because the ground ground moves. And then the second thing they see is this angel, because when there's a resurrection that's taking place, the ground begins to move. There's a supernatural move. Like she sees this angel sitting on top of the stone, because that's the third thing. There's a stone that's rolled away. And this angel said, who are you looking for? Jesus? He's not here. You need to go tell people that he's alive. Because here's the reality. In the last year, so many people have dealt with death, whether it's the loss of a loved one or a friend, death of a dream, death of a home, death of normal. But listen to me carefully. There can never be a resurrection unless there's first a death. And Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. He says this to his disciples. When they see him, he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now go and make disciples. Go and teach people to live how I taught them to live and to follow my example. All authority has been given to me. Here's my question. What's died in your life and what needs to be put to death? See, Jesus has a perfect plan for you. But more importantly, he has a purpose for you. And his purpose is to use you, because you've experienced his life, his resurrection, to use you to bring life to the people around you. Jesus says, I'm going to read it again. I've been given all authority. Go and make disciples of all nations. Do you recognize the authority of Jesus in your life? Because the purpose of God happens when you surrender to him. Let me just say, we're here to celebrate the fact that the God of the universe, who came down to heaven and lived in the in-between and died for our sin, rose to life so that we don't have to taste the sting of death. And he wants to use you to bring life right where you at. But it begins when you surrender to him. Man, this was convicting to me. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Do I surrender to that or do I buck it? Maybe God's dealing with you right now. Maybe you're in the in-between and all you see is death and destruction, but I'm here to tell you that there's life when you surrender to the one who's alive. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, this is for me. I feel like I'm the one that's just stuck in an in-between. I'm stuck in a place I don't want to be. I'm stuck in a place where it looks like death all around me. I'm telling you right now, there's a resurrection that's waiting for you as you follow him. If that's you, just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I believe you died for my sin, but I believe you're alive. Lord, I just believe that you have life for me, so I surrender mine to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, that's the beginning of a new life. And not just a new life with the creator of all, with God himself, with Jesus, but a new life with spiritual family that loves you, that wants to be connected with you. So get plugged in. Let us know what God's doing. Because I'm telling you, as you do and as you grow, it's awesome. Well, I hope that you're having a great Sunday and that it's sunshining where you are. Even if it's raining outside, it's sunshining in your heart. Love you guys. God bless. We'll see you soon.